It's Health Matters right here on CNA 938. I'm Daniel Martin. Welcome aboard. Now, despite global recognition for Singapore's efficient health care, the system will be strained by a rapidly aging population. This we know. Now, a recent NUS study projected that disability rates will increase 5 times in 40 years, and that the total number of older adults living alone is going to increase 4 times by 2060. Hip fracture admissions in Singapore have also increased to 2,729 fractures per year in 2017 from 1,487 cases in 2000. So, I want to know more about this new study by Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy and Amgen Biotechnology Singapore, what it set out to do, what solutions it's proposing based on these study findings. Joining me right now on the program, the principal investigator of the study, Dr. Ruben Ng from the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. Dr. Ng, welcome aboard. Thanks for being here. What was the goal? What did the study try and set out to do, Dr. Ng?
Thank you so much, Daniel. Delighted to join you. Thanks for underscoring the importance of disability in Singapore. Now, one of the biggest causes of disabilities in Singapore is the serious falls of older adults. So this study tries to understand the awareness of serious falls among older adults, the participation rate in fall prevention activities, and also the important role of caregivers in preventing all this.
Now, for people who might think that, oh yeah, it's just a fall, why? A fall is not serious. No, we can't emphasize enough how a simple fall can really lead to disability and death in some cases, especially amongst the elderly, someone with osteoporosis, so on.
Yes, so, falls are critical. I mean, there are two types of falls, right? Some less serious falls, you know, you get up, you're fine. But some of the more serious falls where you break a bone, you break your hips, that's really serious, because when that happens, your quality of life decreases, your mental well-being decreases, and it leads to a slippery slope of a lot of negative consequences. So it's really the serious falls that we need to focus on. And one of the best ways to do it is really through prevention, because prevention is usually better than cure.
Yeah.
So that's why the focus is really, if we can prevent the falls, it actually increases your healthy lifespan versus just your lifespan.
Absolutely. So what does the study actually manage to show? What were some of the key findings?
Sure, that's a great question, Daniel. So the first thing is that Singapore older adults are actually quite aware of falls prevention programs. We found that 6 in 10 are aware about falls prevention programs, but interestingly, only 1 in 10 have participated in such programs. So we were quite surprised by the gap here. So clearly, there is a lot we need to do here. And one of the key stakeholders in this falls prevention program's participation would be caregivers, right? Because caregivers, they care for older adults. And we realized that after speaking to caregivers, we realized that they talked about the emotional strain that they face when caregiving. The mental well-being is absolutely critical. And we further did a media analysis and found out that actually, in the media, when we cover about caregiver or caregiving topics, 90% of those topics are about what I call hard topics, where to get subsidies, where to get schemes, and only 10% are about emotional toll, coping, and resilience. You know, the next thing we did was then we looked at just all the caregiving stories in Singapore, and we compared to the size of these, I mean, the amount of stories about caregiving, given that it's an important sort of topic. We found out that actually, we talk about in the media, there are a lot, there are 66 more times about stories of cars compared to caregiving, and 70 more times about technology and caregiving. So, but the number that really got me off my chair was that when we did a global analysis in 2019 of caregiving conversations, we found out that even bubble tea enjoyed 2 times more coverage than caregiving. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So obviously, we need to do a lot more.
Obviously, indeed. And in fact, let's build on that. Looking at the findings, seeing what you've been able to see now that you have it in black and white, what's the call to action here? What is it going to be able to spur and motivate, you think?
I think, Daniel, obviously we need a lot more human interest stories on caregiving, especially the softer aspect of caregiving, because the age of caregivers are becoming younger now. And people like myself, we fall into this established adulthood group between 30 to 49, where we face a career and care crunch, right, from a care perspective. We care for younger children, we care for older adults, and we're building our careers. So I think the mental well-being, the resilience, and the coping strategies have got to be really critical. And I think the call to action is a lot more discussion, a lot more platforms to talk about some of these things to get caregivers through the important things that they need to do.
You know, it's kind of, I understand exactly what you're saying. I completely agree with the sentiment, but how do we make it happen? How do we translate what we've just described into actionable steps?
Yeah, so that's a very important question, because how do we translate this from academic interest to public interest?
Yeah.
And that's the impact that most universities are focused on now. I think we need to understand that caregivers are not a homogeneous group, right? So a one-size-fits-all approach usually don't work. If we think about it, caregivers, we have adult children, we have grandchildren, we even have foreign domestic helpers. So I think the strategy to communicate to caregivers got to be differentiated, right? So for young caregivers, for example, grandchildren, maybe the way to reach out to them is via TikTok. Foreign domestic workers, you know, they run the gamut of people from, you know, neighboring countries. Maybe the language of communication has got to be different, and the ways we communicate with them. Because if we take a differentiated approach, then they understand, they internalize the message. I think they are better, they provide better persuasions for the people that they're caring for to go for false prevention activities. The other point I'd like to highlight also is the direct communication to our older caregivers. Because our older caregiver, our older adult population is very heterogeneous, right? Mm. There are people who speak Teochew to Tamil. So I think, you know, the way we communicate to them has to be in their native language. Because I realize that if I can't speak the language of the people I'm helping, I'm helpless. So literally speaking, we have to speak different languages to them and really get the message across.
Yes, undoubtedly. Now, how far are we from reaching that goal, do you think? Because we've got that rapidly aging population. It's here. It's right now. The silver tsunami is there. What do we? How far away? How long do we have to go?
Yeah, so one point I'd like to highlight is really the framing. I mean, if you think about it, aging population is upon us. One way is to look at it as a tsunami, right? But the other way is to look at look at this positively, because we have tremendous resource for those 65 years and above who could help out with a lot of things, right? So I think one of the ways is really to reframe aging in a more positive light. I'm particularly heartened by the awareness of false prevention, especially 6 in 10 older adults know about it. But I'm rather dismayed that only 1 in 10 have participated. So clearly, I think there's a lot more we need to do to nudge older adults to participate in false prevention programs. And one of the key stakeholders in this is really the caregivers.
Yes. So, Dr. Ng, we're going to leave it there for now, but thank you so much for waking us up and helping us to see how much more we need to be firmly entrenched in this idea of false prevention and caregiving as well. In particular, Dr. Ruben Ng's assistant professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy. He's principal investigator of the study that we've been discussing on today's edition. I'm Daniel Martin. Thanks for joining me.